2 Corinthians chapter 11 in your Bibles this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll begin reading in verse 24. It's a portion of scripture that you know well. The Apostle Paul is speaking to this church at Corinth, and here's what he says. He says, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one." He was beat five times, 39 licks. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned and left for dead. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A day and a night I have been in the deep," that is, in the ocean, swimming, paddling, trying to stay afloat. "In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren." He had been through it. "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, go back to chapter 4 in 2 Corinthians. And let's begin reading in verse 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels," speaking about our salvation, "that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you." Walter Payton, the great running back for the Chicago Bears, rushed for over 9,000 yards in his career. And that is after getting knocked down every 4.1 yards. He was asked, "How did you do it?" He replied, "I kept getting up. I don't care who you are, life will knock you down. And the key to success is to get back up. How did you learn to walk? You kept getting up. How did you learn to ride a bike? You kept getting up. How did your daughter learn to drive a car? You kept getting it fixed." Sometimes we look at life and wonder if we can make it. If you are saved this morning, I've good news for you. You are going to make it. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." You are going to make it if you are saved. The only question is, how will you finish your race? The Apostle Paul was able to say at the end of his race, after suffering all of what we've read about him, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." God wants you to finish your race well, and he will help you to finish well. as your pastor, should I be concerned about how you are doing? The Bible says, being confident of this very thing because of God's sustaining grace. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect and establish and strengthen and settle you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a promise from God to you. So I have some thoughts. First of all, God's grace will sustain me, first of all, when I am tempted. Temptation is the first thing that will get you off track. Look at verse 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Satan wants to get you off track, and he uses temptation to do it. The moment that you became a child of God, you became the object of Satan's destruction. The moment you were saved, Satan said, I'm going to get you. He can't destroy your soul. We understand that we are saved eternally. But he can destroy your peace and your joy and your fellowship if you allow him to. Every day the battle rages. Every way we turn, there are opportunities for wrong choices. And that is called temptation. When God speaks to us, that's inspiration. When Satan speaks to us, that is temptation. Satan has the ability to put thoughts in our mind and to take thoughts out. And that is a very powerful tool that God has given to Satan. Peter is talking to Ananias in Acts chapter 5, and he makes this statement, why has Satan filled thine heart? Satan put the thought in Ananias's heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. Satan will put a horrible thought in your mind and generally follow it with another thought. Good people don't have thoughts like this. And he's got you. You don't know how many times preachers sit on the front row just before they preach. And some old ugly thought will come into our mind. And then Satan will follow that up by saying, good preachers don't have those kind of thoughts. We can't keep those kind of thoughts out of our mind, but we can understand from where they come and not dwell on them. There's all kinds of temptations out there. Every year, each teenager is exposed to 14,000 references to sex on television alone. The internet is an absolute cesspool. Sexual temptation is destroying the fiber of our souls and the integrity of our relationships. If you want to resist temptation, you must do four things that Joseph did when he was tempted. Here's what he did. First of all, you must not be weakened by your situation. Joseph's situation was pretty good. Economically, he was secure. Vocationally, he was respected and trusted. Personally, he was handsome and charming. He was young and a long way from home. He could have allowed that to weaken his personal resolve against temptation, but he did not. Second of all, you must not be deceived by personal persuasion. God understands. You're only human. The greatest gift that you can give your marriage partner is your purity. The greatest trait that you can provide for your family is moral and ethical integrity. Don't be deceived by persuasion. Remember, it's all a lie. Third, don't be gentle with your emotions. You have to get downright rude with your emotions and say no and mean it. Fourth, don't be confused. And this might be the most difficult part. Don't be confused with the immediate results. When Joseph did that, what happened? He went to prison. Okay? You may lose your job. You may lose acceptance by a group. You may be ridiculed, determined to be like Joseph. Otherwise, you will yield to temptation. It's only a matter of time. Don't give in to temptation. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful and will not suffer you to be tested above that ye are able, and will with the temptation make a way of escape." You know what God is saying here? I've got your back. Believe God. Second of all, God will sustain you when you're tired. Life is exhausting. It requires a lot of energy. And if you are trying to do the right thing, it requires even more energy. If you are always looking for the easy road just to go with the flow, you're always going downhill. But at times, don't you get tired? And have you found it harder to be nice when you're exhausted? When your wife asks you a question and you're tired and you just go off? So why do you get to that place when God gives us the energy to do the right thing, to respond the right way? Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And look at verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart." The strength that is given there is the Spirit of God. There's a direct connection to the Spirit of God and giving you strength. Moses and Noah were certainly in positions to get tired and fussy. But they finished well because they found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Apostle Paul was pressed beyond measure. We read that. Here's what he said. Go with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And look at verse 13. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Third, God's grace will sustain me when I am troubled. Jesus was very, very clear. The fact that he didn't come to make life easy, he came to make men great. And part of that is suffering, okay? In this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have obstacles. You're going to be overwhelmed at times. Trouble that knocks us over. Trouble that weighs us down. Trouble that is seemingly undeserved. A lot of my trouble is deserved. I know it. I know me. Some trouble is undeserved. And that is really, really difficult. I want you to go with me to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 says this, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Thank God for that. In Psalm 46, 1, David said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." So how do we receive God's sustaining grace? First of all, call out for God's help. In Psalms 120, verse 1, the psalmist said, "In my distress I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me." He always does. There's not one time that you've cried unto him, and he's going, "I don't want to hear from you." Not one time. For some of you, everything may be wonderful out there in your life, but for most of us, we realize without God's sustaining grace that we wouldn't make it. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We'll begin reading in verse 6. James chapter 4, verse 6. Folks, you got to love the Word of God. "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." When we are at the end of the rope and we call out to God, he will hear and answer our call, because being at the end of our rope is not at the end of hope. We always have that from God. Second of all, fill your mind with God's Word. Psalms 119, 165 says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." Third, accept support from God's people. We are not made to be islands. No man is an island entire of itself. We need each other. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Church is all about loving others. Church is about helping others with their troubles. There will come a time, probably many times in your life, when you will need someone else's help and support and friendship just to make it. You need someone you can say, "Here's what's going in my life, going on in my life," and have them say, "I'm here for you, and we're going to get through this together." Philippians chapter 4, please. Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. He was at the end of his rope. And he is saying to these people at Philippi, your care for me has flourished again. I need that. Wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And then last of all, hold on to God's promises. There are over 7,000 promises in his word. Here's a good one. In Hebrews 13:5, God said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I will never leave thee or forsake thee. He has promised every time I am tempted, he will help me. Every time I am tired, he will lift me up. Every time I am troubled, he will give me hope. That is God's sustaining grace. And ladies and gentlemen, it all starts at the cross and it continues at church. If you're here this morning and you have never been saved, today would be a great day for you to step out and come forward and say, oh God, please forgive me and save my soul because of what Christ did for me on the cross. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your wonderful grace. And we know it's by grace that we are saved, and it's by grace we are kept, and it's by grace that we are going to finish our race well. Oh, Father, please help each one of us to have a wonderful desire to be faithful and to be fervent to you. And thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for this church full of loving people who has loved us and helped us. Dear Father, I just ask that you might continue to be a part of our life and that we would decide today that we are going to do our best to be a great citizen of heaven and give out the grace of God, not only from Scripture, but by the way that we live, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.